Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
So just like your fake apology, Darren Revelle was not buying the apologies of the Astros today. Shut up.
That's
just
no way
shut up, Darren Revelle. Anything to the media that day, they were criticized.
Of course, they're always.
And everybody was saying they didn't apologize. And you knew once they did apologize, it wasn't going to be good enough either. So just stop apologizing. Just keep pressing forward, and let's just see how the season plays out. If you win, then you've earned it.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
My favorite thing is how these players are starting to come out and say that it's affected their livelihood. Shut up. Shut up about it. This didn't materially affect your performance. And one at bat, one pitch, maybe. But if you got sent down to the minors, trust me, it wasn't that outing. Trust me, it was a buildup of many, many crappy outs.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Welcome to an FBI Friday on The Usual Suspects. And as usual, for the most part, all three of us are here, ready to take you for the next 3 hours. I may not be here for the entire first segment.
Hey, Joel.
Yep.
Who's your favorite college basketball team? Is it North Carolina or is it the Dukies?
You know, I'd like to be like your cat right now.
And just poop all over Barry's head?
Just all over his head.
I'm crying.
Barry just wants you to poop.
You know what, guys? I don't need this crap.
I hope.
I'm out.
He's really got to go. He wasn't lying when he said it. I thought he was just messing around.
Oh, my God. Oh, that just happened.
Wow.
Oh, I wish. Hi, welcome to the show. Right before we went on air, Joel was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
And he didn't.
That was like, bro, think of the show. If you crap your pants in the first segment, that'll be the greatest segment of radio in the show's history. He's like, nah, bro. Because it all started because I walked in. I was like, bro, did you fart? He's like, yeah, but I think I really have to duke. But I'm worried. I don't know if I'm going to make it. He's like, I don't want to do it in my pants. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it through the segment. I was like, don't worry about it. Just crap your pants. It'll be the greatest segment in our show's history, and nothing will top it. He was like, I'm not doing that. Come on. And then you chimed in. Think of the ratings, bro. Go ahead. Just crap your pants, Joel. So I think he was looking for an out, an excuse to leave, because he really has to duke.
But when did this all transpire? Because I was in the production meeting.
In the meeting. He was fine.
Because he has one of those, like, the way his stomach works, it's like a switch.
Yeah.
Like, he could be just sitting there. Yeah.
Yeah. If some people's poop maker is an oven, his is a microwave. He's just, you know, some people you have to put it on 375 and let it bake for an hour. Joel's is like 20 seconds. Ding! Time to go. So.
That's how it works, dude.
Yeah.
That's what he says about pineapples, too. Like, you know how he eats. Oh, wow. There's no way.
There's no way.
There's no way, Joel. There's no way.
Bro, there's not. You couldn't even wash your hands after a duke that fast.
I'm telling you right now that my headphones broke. Oh, I feel like you today. I got a battery and
yeah,
all because
apart.
I got so mad that I slammed them on the desk because of all your poop jokes.
Your faux anger ruins your headphones, and that's what you get. It's yeah, the side is cracked right there, homie.
Oh well,
everything come out all right?
Perfect.
Good.
Let me tell you something.
What a start to an FBF Friday. F stands for fecal.
It really does, because I'll tell you this.
F stands for feces.
What is it, the illegal blindside block?
Is that what happened?
The illegal blindside block hit me at 12:58, and I'm like, oh, God. Well, I don't think so.
Well, we discussed while you were out pooping.
Yeah.
I was like, Joel's poop maker is like, it's most people's is an oven.
Yeah.
Yours is a microwave. When it's time, it's time. Ding! It's like, there's no... I can hold it forever. I literally can be like, nah, I'm good. We can be on a trip, road trips and stuff. I'm good. I can hold it. Joel has his sphincter muscle is so,
no, not true.
So loose.
Not
it's
true.
It's just like, because if it gets close, it's just going to fall out. I got to go.
I have been able to do this for years, but I'm telling you, like this week, great.
I can't believe we started the show this way, by the way.
Great week getting back into working out and all that other stuff. So I'm eating healthy.
You've been doing this.
So for lunch, I just had two apples.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no big deal. That's good. And that's it actually, it. I don't feel hungry or anything like that. And then we got out of the production meeting. We're walking down the hallway. And I'm like,
uh-oh.
No, I'm evaluating. I'm going, nah, I think I'll make it through the first segment. And then all of a sudden, you and I are setting up. And I'm like, nope, if I even sit down right now, I'm in trouble.
You literally was like, what up, poop town? And then you ran out.
Once you guys started making poop jokes, it's like when you got to pee and someone talks about running water. I was like, nope, forget it. Just might as well make
bro,
it into
the show
a bit
started
and storm
at
out.
1 o'clock. It's 1:06 and you're back already?
Yeah.
There's no way. Let me tell you right now. I'm the kind of dude that has to take the paper with me. Now I just use my phone. I've got websites. I'm like, I got to log into the internet. There's no way I'm pooping in 3 minutes, bro. That's a skill.
So Jake Asman was actually in the restroom.
I feel like
and he goes, aren't you supposed to be on the air? And I'm like, we are on the air. And he's like, so are you? And I go, Jake, when nature calls, as my mom said, sometimes you gotta answer the call. And he's like, one or two. I'm like, that's really none of your business.
Wow.
But
you're about
I'm
to find
in the
out,
stall
Brody.
With the door shut. So unless you're one of those sit-to-pee guys, that wouldn't be me.
Which is isn't him?
Brian Barrett.
Oh, that's right.
Way.
Brian Barrett.
From our SB Nation.
Jake people. Is a stand-up man.
So as I'm walking back in, he goes, wow, done already. He was still in the bullpen.
Dude, it takes some old guys that long to pee because their prostates don't work right. And they're just like, oh, God. And it takes them 5 minutes.
He goes, kudos, efficient. I was like, thanks, Jake. I'm going back on the air now.
You know what happened is apples have a lot of fiber in them.
Yeah.
That's what got you. Here's the thing. I feel like if you poop that fast, your leg has never fallen asleep on you, has it?
My leg?
Yeah. You've never had your leg fall asleep while you're on the toilet?
No.
Oh, yeah. See, you're not sitting there long enough.
What are you, cutting off circulation?
Yeah.
Or sitting on your...
Bro, I've had both of them fall asleep where it's like, yeah, I can't get up. I'm just going to hang out until I get circulation.
All honesty now.
He's not listening. He's busy. He's getting all these.
I think that's a unique to you thing.
No, it's not. I do a whole bit about it on stage. And when I do
about your leg falling asleep when
on the toilet when I poop. Yeah, a whole bit on the stage about how both of them, and then you're like a newborn baby deer once they start working. You got to learn how to walk again. No, it's a whole thing. And
that's
you know
funny.
What's,
you should be a comedian.
Thanks. You know what's funny is you can look into the crowd and a lot of dudes are like, yep. So if you're a fast pooper, obviously, no. You're not, your leg's not falling asleep.
Well, I'm a professional, Barry. So I can be a professional pooper and I can be a professional to make sure I have a job to do. I got to get back to it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I can't believe this is the weirdest show start.
Has your leg ever fallen asleep when you've sat on the toilet?
We were discussing while you were busy, and I said, Joel has never in his life had his leg fall asleep while pooping because he goes so fast.
Never.
And he goes, that's a thing? I'm like, yeah, bro, I've had both of them happen. You? Has this happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
See? Yeah.
What, are you guys in there for an hour?
I mean...
No, but I will say this. I've been in radio a long time. I know how to go in and out in 3 or 4 minutes, so I can totally believe that you did that.
Well, Jake was in there. He could pretty much verify that it was a hit and run.
Most producers that have to deal with 4 and 5 minute commercial breaks, believe me, they know.
Man,
they figure it out.
I got to take a segment off at least. I mean, I need
that's
the
crazy.
Full.
Unless it's an emergency like Joel, because I remember one time I had one and then Tyler had to step in. Remember?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I mean, I got to take, it's going to take at least the full 11 minutes of a segment. At least. Yeah, I don't have that.
There's always a little bit of an anxiety when I'm doing it in a commercial break because I've totally done it during
really?
The show. Oh yeah,
I really believe Patrick Creighton has issues being able, because there are times when I'm listening in the car at night, and it's like, because we know how everything goes around here, I'll be going, so they're doing a deep cover for Pat right now, because they're talking about things he said, and they're saying, and then someone will go, but he, and I'm like, he's either in the John or he got caught in traffic. But one way or the other,
oh,
he's
talking
not
about first
there
segment?
Yet. Yeah, normally, sometimes the first segment. There's other times, too, and I'm like,
that's funny.
We
why
cover,
you,
we,
why you spilling the tea, bro?
Because oh, that's what, come on. I mean,
oh, man.
Can you see him going into a full bathroom when he's got to get back on air? Pastor Creighton in the bathroom. You're going to have to get out of here. I'm going to be right back. I got to use the stall.
Oh, boy. This is how we started Valentine's.
I love it. Well,
this
there you
was,
go.
This was Valentine's yeah. Day. It started off with Joel almost crapping
to
his pants.
To you, from me, with love, had to do what I had to do.
That's how you know it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
Joel poops his pants. Quality radio.
What did you do for Nora for Valentine's Day?
Nothing.
Oh, why?
I mean, we just didn't get each other anything. We're not doing...
Not matching Rolexes with diamond-encrusted
no.
beveled... No.
Dude, we've been together for 21 years.
Naval rings? No?
No, we didn't get matching belly
matching
button
naval
piercings.
Naval rings or something? Come on.
No. I asked her. I said, hey, I'm going to go buy Klein's jewelry. What do you want? I was just going to go get her something. Mm-hmm. She was like, I don't want anything. I'm like, you have to want something. Every chick wants jewelry. She was like, babe, I just want to have a nice steak dinner and watch Netflix. I was like... And chill?
Chill, yeah.
She was like, no, just Netflix. I was like, yep. That's 21 years right there. But I don't think she understood what I was, you know.
Yeah.
She's not hip to that.
The term.
Yeah. She was like, I mean, whatever. So, yeah, we'll probably just, I'll go home and sous vide up some steaks and we'll watch Netflix and whatever happens, happens. Which will probably be us both falling asleep.
I'll pray for you. About what, 8:30?
What'd you get Lisa?
So I got Lisa. She actually called on the way. When I was driving to work crying because the cards were so sweet. But I got her two cards.
Okay.
And I got her a big gift bag with her favorite, she loves See's chocolates.
Okay, yep.
And so, you know how they do the whole rope you in and spend too much money for Valentine's Day.
Of course.
They only sell See's chocolates at HEBs. But the Valentine's pack are those whack-ass, weak,
heart-shaped
See's.
The boxes?
Like, no, they're like suckers.
Oh.
They're like, but it's just these square of like caramel or toffee. And she's like, no, she needs either, first of all, she needs the nuts. And then it's either the caramel or the toffee or whatever.
Did you give her the nuts?
So, you know what I'm saying?
Did you give her the nuts tonight?
You know, I give to get. So, yeah. You know.
Give her nuts?
So, I'm the gift that keeps on giving. So,
give,
I had
you
to.
You give a nut to get a nut.
Yeah.
Right?
So, essentially.
You get a, yeah. Okay.
They wrap up these two boxes, but it's all the weakest candy. Mm-hmm. So, instead, I got the two boxes of the stuff that she likes and then wrapped it, like, differently so that she had it all in the big gift bag with all that stuff. And she's extremely happy.
Look at you. Yeah. It's such a weird thing is that it's like, here, eat all this chocolate and then.
That's I poo.
What?
This song should be I poo. Is you.
You cut me off for that?
Yeah.
Go to break.
Hey, we're just getting started. Literally, on the Usual Suspects. If you want to join the show on an FBI Friday, 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Usual Suspect, Eastman 975. She got the hearts for me, the finest thing I ever see. Oh no, no.
She got a man and a son though. Oh. Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I was cooking for somebody on a date, and after the meal, we ended up having sex, which is really great because, you know, that's the only reason why I cook. And, like, as soon as we got into it, this guy was just like, oh, my God, please stop, it burns. And I thought, what? That's really weird. It usually takes a few days before they say that.
Hey, F Yeah Friday, F for funny. I hand it to my partner who will give you all the deets on our comedian of the week.
Julia Serrano is our comedian of the week. I love Julia. She was interviewed recently for an article and talked about women in comedy and how difficult it is for women in comedy, which is absolutely true. But I got to perform with her last night at the Improv on Alan Adams Couples Therapy. And she killed it as usual. Super funny. And really happy for her success. She's newer. You know, she's been around just a couple of years, but she's really moving up the charts quickly. And I was happy to get to work with her again because it had been a while. So Julia Serrano, at Julia S-R-N-O on Twitter, and we'll tweet it out as well. So super funny. Keep an eye on her.
As well, you must, as she is very funny. So last night, obviously heading into All-Star Weekend, not a whole hell of a lot to talk about sports.
No, this is that week. I mean, this is the...
Another one.
Yeah, this week and the week of the MLB All-Star game is a slow week. And right now, you know, you got pitchers and catchers reporting really no football. And the Rockets are off for, 9 days after that last game. So not a whole lot going on. So you got to look at stuff and be like, ooh, neat. Zion scored 20 in a row for 20 games, 6 games in a row. Is the youngest points to whatever. That's what we're doing.
But I'll say this. Look, you know what? With all the issues of him making the transition from Duke to the pro game and the
Duke, you say?
Yep. The okay. Dukies. And then just once he started playing, I had reservations because of the fact that I was like, look, if everybody's concerned about him, like the way he walks, the way he runs, his weight, all these other things, I'm going, maybe it's going to take a while. And then I actually had reservations like, is this guy going to be able to handle the NBA? Wow. In short order, he has made the statement that he is here to stay, and he is impressive. Because as I told you when they played the Rockets, first thing I wanted to see was an experienced vet like PJ Tucker, who's strong. Mm-hmm. I want to see how he put a body on him and if he could stand him up and make him, you know, uncomfortable. Good Lord, he got whatever he wanted against the Rockets, and he just kept on going.
I didn't see it, but somebody was like, y'all are talking about him as a kid, and that dude just moved Steven Adams out of the paint like it was nothing. And that'll tell you, I didn't see it, but if that were the case, that was the case, that'll tell you how strong he is at 19.
So he is.
And I saw him, I just saw a highlight of a block shot, which was ridiculous. I mean, the dude looks like he's got the full complement of skills to be an NBA player for a really long time. I still think it might be too soon to call him, you know, a superstar in the making, like the next LeBron or something like that. Because I think that's what you start to hear rumblings of it, right? Like, oh, is he the next? Because it was Jordan, it was Kobe, it was LeBron, is it now Zion? I'm not saying it's not going to be. And I'm not suggesting that at all.
Player.
I'm just saying it the same way I said it about Jordan. Just chill and let it happen. I'm not suggesting he's not going to be a star. Not suggesting he's not going to be great. But 6 games does not a career make, right?
So he scored 20 in 8 of his first 10, reached 30 twice. And I think he's different. He's a different kind of player than LeBron because he doesn't put it on the floor and create his own.
I'm not suggesting that he's
way.
Going to be like LeBron. I'm talking about superstar status. It was Jordan. Not that any of those games are similar. I'm just saying the best player on the planet for as long as they play, it was Jordan, it was Kobe, it was, you know, LeBron, and now they're saying that Zion is the next in that category.
Yeah, people forget Steph had his run. Giannis may still have a run. But yeah,
but they're not going to ever be classified into that group.
What you're
three.
Talking about. Because you and I would, and Nick would see it differently in terms of you've got to be an impressive player. Like, you have to put up the stats, you have to do the consistent things to be a superstar. But because we live in a sports center era where when he flies as high as he does, as with the size that he has, and he does those kind of things, people will anoint him a superstar simply because of his highlight reel instead of the things he does night in, night out. But so far, let me just add to that by saying, I have been extremely impressed. That kid is the things he's doing right now.
Oh no, it's very
especially
impressive.
Joining midseason like that. He's impressive.
No, I'm not. Again, I'm going to catch heat like I did with my Jordan take, it's a reasonable thing I think to say. I'm not suggesting that what he's not doing isn't impressive, and not suggesting that he's not going to be great one day. I'm just suggesting that you start to hear rumblings of, oh man, is he the new best player.
The comparisons to LeBron come game. Because of just how big. He's 6'9", 280.
10 games.
And can fly.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from. But boy, oh boy. And then, you know, neat moment for him because, of course, the NBA PR machine says, even though he barely played this year, he makes the futures game because they want the ratings. They want the hype. They want him to be there. He goes to Chicago, and he meets President Obama along with Trae Young today. And he's so starstruck by meeting the former president. And then when they asked him about it, he's like, I mean, come on. I'm 19. And he was talking about my games at Duke, and he was talking about games this year. Mm-hmm. And he goes, he knows what I've been doing. And he goes, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, you forget. He's 19. Yeah.
His self-awareness, I have a lot of respect for that.
He's very humble.
Yeah, very humble, very self-aware, knows what he is, knows where he's at his point at this point in his career and life. And I do respect that quite a bit. His PER is off the charts, too. 25.5 already.
Yeah. And he's fit into a team that's with a mixture of young guys trying to always prove themselves, like Hart and Ball and guys like that, even Ingram to some degree. Ingram. And a veteran like Holiday, he's fit in so well that they let him do it. They're not, you know, you can tell there's no animosity because a lot of guys get jealous. And that's a nice little mix, like I said you guys a week or so ago. That young nucleus and core that they got in New Orleans – you laugh, but man, I'll tell you what, you keep them together and keep them going with David Griffin as the GM now, they can build that thing up.
My knee-jerk reaction when I heard about his scoring and everything was, well, yeah, but there's no points to be had, right? Oh, no. They're fifth in the league in scoring, 0.1 points behind the Clippers.
Your knee-jerk is the one that's not falling asleep when you're on the toilet, right? Nick, have you seen him in person?
I'm not dignifying that.
Zion,
response.
No, not yet, no.
Yeah, because Houston missed the first opportunity because he was out, hurt, and then he already came. So he's not coming back this year. But that's a guy that I want to see in person just to see because, you know, remember we talked about when he was drafted. He weighed more the day he was drafted than any player in the league at that time.
You're going to be mesmerized by that. Just like when you have someone that's that big and he's fast, you're just going to be mesmerized just by that. You know, like it's like that typical quarterback that looks like, he looks the part. Like Ryan Mallett, not a good quarterback, but he looked the part. That's why some coaches were like willing to coach him and they were mesmerized by the look. For him to actually come through and not just look the part, but actually come through, man, that at 19, it's going to be amazing. I just hope he stays healthy because I want him to have a really long, healthy career. You know, I want some longevity with a guy like that.
I think the impressive thing, too, is when you get a kid that has that much talent, and we've talked about and I've highlighted how I think the AAU is just the most corrupt thing going. But when you talk about a kid that's pushed on the fast track through AAU, through high school, through 1 year of college, and you rush him onto the scene and get him into the NBA, normally he's not fundamentally skilled, especially a guy that's going to be on the block at some point in the post. The post moves he put on PJ Tucker when he was here and some of the moves he's been able to do since then, downright impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I wasn't expecting from a kid that also likes to run the floor and get up in the air.
Dude, you think about it at 19... Were you ready for the NBA at 19? Hell no.
Not even close.
Mentally, there's no... If you would have put me in the NBA at 19 and thrust me on the national stage to be a star... Now, I get it. They kind of get groomed. Being at Duke was like preparation for what's to come and all that. And they have so many good people around them. But still, I mean, I'm still immature and I'm 45.
Got that right.
Okay, I didn't need you at that point.
You made the statement. I'm here, as always, to support you.
I didn't need you to have my back right then. You could have just sat it out.
Okay. Well, I did that in the first segment for a little
bit. F is obviously not for friendship on an F, yeah, Friday.
I just supported him, Nick, did I not? I gave him my undying support that said he's absolutely right.
Sure, thank you.
Well, I mean, you said it. First half hour of the show is in the books. That means we still got plenty more to go. We've got lots of other things to get to, but if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest on this FEF Friday and Valentine's Day, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, tweet, send us your Valentine wishes, love and affection. Well, just the love is fine. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Long hair with your big fat booty. Back in the days, you was the girl I went to school with. Had to... ESPN 97.5.
This is
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what do you know? Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on an FBF Friday. Having a good time. A little bit of a slower time in sports. So we'll, with the permission, of course, of our fearless leader, we'll keep it a little bit more on the entertainment and fun side today, as well as sports. No, not you.
Oh.
Nick with the timely music.
Yeah.
35th anniversary.
Like he was listening in the break.
Holy cow, it's been a long
time. How long?
35th anniversary of The Breakfast Club, the movie.
Really? 35 years makes me feel so old.
Man.
It was a great movie. The budget for it. Look, so in this article, that it says, according to The Atlantic, with a budget of $1 million, the film brought in $45 million. I feel like it would have made more than that by now, right?
Like in terms of residuals and stuff like that?
Or yeah, not overall. Yeah. Like, because it was a cult hit. Not a cult hit. It was popular. But then it just became one of those things where you just watched it over and over. And
yeah.
So their budget for the movie back then was $1 million 35 years ago. And today, with today's inflation, that means they would have a budget. Think about this. To make a movie in today's society, somebody would have gone to them and was like, here's $2.5 million. They would have gotten laughed off the lot for only making a movie with $2.5 million. Like, you can't even rent equipment for that anymore. It's just, that's amazing. And that tells you, though, the level of writing and acting that made that movie
John Hughes,
so
right?
Good.
I believe. One of the legendary moves under the umbrella of John Hughes. And just extraordinary. The cast all ended up to be extreme, you know, at least in short bits, if not longer runs.
Oh, man.
The cast had a great run. What was it? Was that their version of the Brat Pack? The Rat?
Brat
Pack is what they called it. With all the people that were in there. Was Ally Sheedy, mm-hmm. Molly Ringwald, Emilio Estevez,
Anthony Michael Hall,
Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
By the way,
Judd
Nelson, all of
things.
About 5'6" or 5'5". Little dude.
Judd Nelson?
Yeah, he showed up in Tahoe for the golf tournament.
I don't believe that.
A couple years. Yeah, he's one. They made him look like this big bad bully guy in the movie too. He's a little dude.
Dude, his Wikipedia says he's 5'10".
No way. No way, and I got friends that'll back that up.
If you look at him next in the movie though, he's barely taller than Molly Ringwald.
Yep.
The nerd is taller than he is.
Not tall.
How did they make him look so big? Like I feel like if you would have asked me, I'd be like, "Oh, he's like 6'2", 6'3", just because he seems so big in the movie. Right?
That's what I'm saying. That's the way they do that. But you know what?
But here's that screenshot in the article. You can tell that the nerd who is Anthony Michael Hall is actually looks taller than him, and he's barely taller than Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. So, you know, it's probably like when they list Charles Barkley at 6'6", when he's actually more like 6'4". I'm sure that he will pump up his height. But
by the way, is it Molly Ringwald or Ringwald with a D? I don't know which one it is. Does she have a D in there?
Not touching that.
I don't know. But yeah, all those. And then I'm on the IMDb page now. It is Molly Ringwald.
He's
with
60,
a D.
Judd Nelson.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stars in one movie. And not a big cast either.
No.
Not a very large cast.
Bender. You mess with the bull, you get the horns, young man.
Yeah.
Great scene there. So many lines
that
and
was,
scenes that were fantastic in that movie. And like you said, we were in the break talking about it too. But you basically had every different category of a kid in high school.
Yeah.
And you had the easy to relate to of everybody's high school life, from detention to just, you know, being in the different places in the school. Just, it's worth your time. That's one you can go back and watch, and still it transcends time.
Maybe
still
that's what the wife
good.
And I will watch on Netflix tonight.
There you go.
When we Netflix and sleep.
Well, I mean, do what you got to do, but yeah.
We're old.
You know, and you mentioned that about height, but we were talking about that the other day. There was an article about the shortest men in Hollywood, and Tom Cruise is also one of those guys.
Notoriously short.
Yeah, he's really short. And you threw out Danny DeVito. He's 5'4".
Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's shorter than 5'4".
No, he's not. They listed him at 5'4".
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was shorter than that. No. I thought you told me he was like...
Him, Joe Pesci. There was a whole...
Yeah, Pesci. There's a lot of... Here's the thing. See, Danny DeVito's 4'10", bro.
Well, I don't know. Guys are all pumping their stats then.
No, because Danny DeVito is 4'10".
The article that I saw...
No, it's right there on his wiki page, which we all know...
You can alter that.
No, we all know wiki... is the most reliable source.
That's the same site reliability-wise that said New York Yankees owned by Jose Altuve. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then let's just ask Jeeves, because we know how accurate that is. I Googled it. How tall is Danny DeVito? 4'10". It's right there, Joseph.
Boy, you like to be combative. Okay. I mean, okay, fine.
Not being combative.
Al Pacino, 5'7". Tom Cruise, they list at 5'7". I've seen that number... a bit smaller. Humphrey Bogart, another guy that they portrayed in the old school movies as being a big dude, was 5'8".
You got to remember, all these men that are now actors started off in drama in junior high and high school. And the reason they were in drama is because they were twerps and couldn't play sports. And no one liked them. And so they were these dweebs that were like, well, I'm 4'10". And I can't play football or basketball or baseball. So what am I going to do? Well, maybe I'll just go do drama and have sex with the drama nerds. There was a lot of banging going on in drama.
Here's another one you wouldn't
think. I took drama, by the way. I just want to point out.
It's not shocking.
I took drama in junior high. And none of the chicks would ever look at me. No banging going on from Mr. Laminack. All the other chicks and dudes in drama were banging it. I was on the outside looking it. Just to point it out. So I speak from experience when I tell you the reason there's so many actors that are undersized is because when they started, they weren't playing sports. Yeah. All the big dudes went and played sports.
Dustin Hoffman, 5'6", shorter than Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm.
Rhea Perlman, who was Danny DeVito's wife, was taller than him. She was 5 foot. He was 4'10".
Are they still married?
I don't know. I mean,
if not for that doctor that's from here, that little people show that they did, you could do the whole show on Rhea Perlman and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, that's
your boy Aziz
Ansari.
Yeah, Ansari, 5'6".
What is the cutoff, by the way? I know we discussed this before. I forget. It was like four.
Roller coasters?
No.
No, I mean, come on. They got the little line there. You had to be a certain height to ride roller coasters. I don't think Danny DeVito's riding a roller coaster.
Well, I mean, what's it like? He's not classified as a little person. And I know we have our, I forget his name. But there's a little person that listens all the time.
AJ's buddy, right?
4'10", yeah. And men and women, now this is according to Wikipedia on dwarfism. It says that in men and women, in humans, it's sometimes defined as an adult height of less than 4'10". So Danny DeVito literally would tiptoe in the line.
Mm. He sure is, if he's on his tiptoes.
At 4'10", yeah, like, so anything less than that, and you're considered a dwarf.
One of Nick's favorites.
So Pink Valkyrie.
Is a shorter
How
the
tall
guy
is
than
Pink
I
Valkyrie?
I don't know.
Is she 4'10"?
Bruno Mars is 5'5".
Really?
Yeah, I thought he was taller.
Yeah, that is crazy.
But, yeah, you look at this. The 5'5 list is Johnny Galecki. Kevin Hart's 5'4.5", stop it. He's shorter than that.
No, that's about right.
I don't know. But, yeah, there's a lot of small guys in Hollywood. So, and that's why it was funny when in watching that movie that you would think that Judd Nelson was a lot taller.
Yeah, 5'10", not that tall at all.
Nope, but a great movie.
I mean, he appears. I mean, I'm 5'10", so it's like normal to me. But he seems so much bigger in the movie.
Yep, for sure.
Pretty crazy.
Yep. All right, so we're going to continue to roll through the first hour of the show. If you got something you want to throw into the mix... and get it rolling with us. 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. It is The Usual Suspects on an FBI Friday, ESPN 97.5.
Now hear this.
You
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolled through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nothing but love for our friends at other stations. As on Twitter, Matt Thomas has verified that his leg falls asleep when pooping.
It's a thing,
he said
bro.
On a daily basis.
It's a thing, bro.
Is that because of the
guy? Why is it a daily basis?
Get on my poop level,
yeah,
bro.
On a daily basis, don't you have to have some like circulation cut off or something?
Nah, you just got to sit there a while.
Man, I guess.
He needs a heating pad while he poops.
I'm not getting into all that.
Me?
No, Matt Thomas. He says it daily basis.
I mean, it just depends.
His wife's name is Kim. Can you say, Kim?
No pun intended. Kim! It just depends.
My leg fell asleep. What should I do?
It just, you know, if you sit there a while, it happens. How do you think I get my show prep done? All on the pot, fellas. Just kidding. Hey, shout out to Titan Hugo. Said, I just left Klein's. Thanks for the info and this awesome package deal.
A.K.A. Roughneck Hugo Roughneck.
That's not the same one. Nope.
Wrong. A different guy?
That's a different Hugo.
Oh, he's not taking claim to that?
And by the way, shout out to Hugo for coming to the show last night at the Improv.
Oh, nice.
He was one of the ones that won tickets.
Good for him.
And came up and said hi. Love his lovely wife. She is the sweetest thing in the world. It's weird because all of the suspects that I've gotten to know that come to shows all the time, their wives are so much sweeter than them. Walt's the same way.
Hmm.
Walt is a good dude. Wife, top-notch human being.
Absolutely.
Sweetest thing in the world.
Very nice lady. Yep.
Yeah. And Titan Hugo, same thing. Great dude. Wife, top notch. They both outkick their coverage and don't deserve their wives. We'll just leave it at that. No, they're good folks. Hey, Barry, I finally wrote a routine I'm ready to go on stage with.
No, wait a minute. Why did you have to have that deep sigh?
You'll see. Any suggestions on clubs that allow more vulgar comedy? And then he gave me one of his opening jokes.
You going to use it?
All right. Well, first of all, don't call it a routine. You wrote some jokes.
Lame!
Don't call it a routine.
I knew right when you said the word routine, that was going to be the first thing.
That's like when people call sketches skits. It drives me. Hey, dude. Or you know, sometimes you'll get people that don't know anything about comedy, and then they'll tell you a joke. Hey, you can use that in your little skit on stage. Okay. It's not a skit. It's not a routine. It's a set. You have a set list. You write jokes. Your jokes comprise your set list. You do your set list. You do a set.
Did you learn that in drama class?
Okay. I would suggest, first of all, don't go to a club. Go to an open mic. You're never going to get on at a club. You're going to have to do open mics first. And it doesn't matter. Everybody is vulgar at open mics. Most open mic comics are awful. And you will be too, I promise.
That's nice.
No, it's just that's how it works. If you've never done comedy, no one walks up and just murders their first time on stage. I'm not telling him that he's not going to be good one day, but I read the joke. Yeah, it's going to take a while. You got work to do, but that we all do.
We all do.
Yeah.
Well, for those of us that are trying to prosper
in
comedy routine.
That would be like, hey, Jordan, what do you think of this jump shot? He'd be like, okay. I'm not suggesting I'm the Michael Jordan of comedy. I'm just saying when you tell someone that does it for a living, it's a little bit different. I'm not suggesting that this person or anyone else can't get there. I'm really not.
Oh, I think you
are. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. Dude, I teach a workshop on a weekly basis for new comics. I encourage anyone that wants to do this. Here's the thing.
You just crushed his dream?
No.
On a weekly basis, I build up so many terrible comics. And their hopes and dreams of being comics.
Good Lord. On a weekly
basis, I build them up and make them feel
hurt. So many feelings right now.
The blonde spot, the guy that kills everybody. Barry's that version for comedy.
I do on a week. I'm like, you guys can do it. And then in my mind, I'm going, no, you can't. I've seen all your acts.
Brutal.
But I'm there. I'm still there, encouraging them and giving them the support.
I bet you some of them know who they are, too.
They do. That's me watching their set at open mic.
Man.
That's me big crying as they go on stage and forget everything I just told them to do or not do. They do the opposite. I'm like, make sure you move the mic stand. No one moves the mic stand. I'm like, oh, my God. That is literally comedy 101. Move the mic stand. So, yeah, but it's not an easy thing to do. And I admire you for putting a set list together and going out and trying to do it. As far as what, just Google open mics in Houston, pick one, go do it. Do not invite your friends. Oh, go by yourself.
Good point.
Never bring your friends to your first open mic set because then they'll never come back.
They'll be the anti-Barry. They'll actually tell you you suck.
Right. Just go on stage by yourself. If you do great, cool. If you bomb, no one has to know. You're going to bomb, and no one will be the wiser, and it's fine.
I think part of it is developing thick enough skin to be able to take that and move forward.
Well, and that's the thing, is you guys are saying I'm killing them. Trust me when I tell you that if they can't take what I just said, don't get into comedy. It's way worse than me being honest with you and saying, when you start, you're going to suck. It's like anything that you do for the first time that you've never done. Comedy's not easy. If it was, everybody would be doing it. As he swivels and looks at Joel. I'm just messing with you. See, Joel can never be a comedian, not because he's not funny. He's just, he can't take it. We roast each other constantly. There's no way you could be in a green room with other comics. You'd be like. No, and I know you used to roast with your friends. I'm just messing with you. I know you can take a joke. I'm just kidding you. But it's one of those things where once you try it, you learn a different perspective and get a different amount of respect for anyone that does it. And that's why I say I'm not gonna blow smoke up your ass and tell you, oh, you're probably good. No, you're gonna suck. And you're gonna suck for a really long time. And the difference is, do you wanna do it or is it a hobby? Because if you really want to do it, you'll go do it, and you'll fight through the suck, and eventually you'll get better and start getting paid.
Do this as most a show.
Most people that quit just wanted to do it as a hobby. A lot of people that get into comedy, you know why they're in comedy? Because they love the attention on stage, whether they do good or bad, and they like hanging out with comics. That's it. I mean, that's the God's honest truth. Do what as a show.
Do this as the this is a show. Just like, who's the blonde guy that kills everybody when he goes to their restaurants and they're cooking?
Oh, Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. Be the Gordon Ramsay of comedy. Do what you're doing already.
Somebody already does that. It's called Kill Tony.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They bring up, they traveled around, Kill Tony, Tony Hinchcliffe, and he's got a couple other people in the show. But they set up a table and they get comics in whatever city they're in. They go on stage and they give them 1 minute, they do a bit, and then they just roast them. And they're just like, you're the worst comic I've ever seen. Or if it was funny, they give them credit. But if they bomb or it was a dumb joke, they just rip them.
See, that'd be awesome. But I would do it where you walk into a comedy club unannounced. No one knows you're going to be there, but you have the cameras and everything set up. And then you let them all do their stuff.
Yeah.
And then you just rip. Then you go one by one.
I'm not at that level where.
In our book, you are.
Well, I appreciate that, but there are much more qualified comics than I that would be the right people to do that, like Tony Hinchcliffe with Kill Tony and the Kill Tony podcast. So,
okay. Are you trying to sex up your ex?
Or what was no, that I just played the music bed a little bit. It's a Valentine's Day music bed.
Are you going to play all like banging songs, like songs to bang it out to?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess Boys to Men, I'll Make Love to You would be one of those songs.
That cuts to the chase.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean...
Didn't even warm her up.
Yeah, no. Seriously.
Okay, so we got to listen to slow jams all day?
Okay. I mean, we could play something else.
Normally, his list is on Wednesday.
My list is not that bad on Wednesday.
I do like the fact that you just lowered your confidence level and said, not that bad. Usually, you're super cocky about your list.
You just pulled the Bill O'Brien.
Let's put it to a vote. And then now he's like,
"Well, normally
my
I wait."
Was not that bad.
That's the equivalent of the Bill O'Brien going, "You suck too."
I like
you
that
suck
you
suck too.
No, I just like that you humbled yourself.
Well, for me, as long as I get two or three votes on Twitter or on the text line, I feel like I've won. So that's when I get my,
there you go.
That's where I get all my confidence.
Too bad you saw all the votes that came in Wednesday. That's why you humbled yourself, because you know I won.
I don't think you won.
I totally saw plenty of dubs.
No, on the Twitter timeline
every week.
Barry reminds me of the Pinocchio is a bad motivational speaker commercial.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking about.
I see a lot of potential in this room. Boop. He's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. You look like you're going to do amazing things. Boop. Uh-oh. No, I don't do that. I'm just like, most of y'all suck.
Sounds like tell me them, in the first segment.
I think I've got to poop. Boop. Uh-oh.
Gotta go. All right, if you missed anything in the first hour, boy, you missed quite a bit. We still got 2 hours to go in the show, so plenty more to get to. On a Valentine's Day, as Nick puts you in the mood for what should be a wonderful evening for you couples out there. For you single people, Nick, I don't know.
Hey, I can enjoy Valentine's Day,
too. Yeah, shoot your shot, bro. If you got it hooked up, go get it. And we'll go get the second hour of the show coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.